Welcome to Equisport Radio, your VIP pass to the world of horse racing.
Down the stretch they come, Cassie's digging in at the rail.
Les Salzman take you inside the gate, behind the scenes, to the heart of horse racing. Equisport Radio. Get tied on.
Hey, welcome aboard. This is Les Salzman, the Equisport News Show for this week. Along with me, Scott Miller, hanging out here at Sunshine Meadows at the finish line. Scott, say hello to the crowd.
Hey, guys. We're going to have a great show this week.
We are. And, you know, Scott, this time of year, I always get that Saratoga itch. You know? Oh. And so what we're going to do this week is we've got two folks, Mike Anno from the Thoroughfan organization that's going to hold a great awards banquet the second week in August. And also we've got Dan Tordman, who works with America's Best Racing, but also is one of the hosts and founders of Equicon.
I tell you what, Saratoga is going to be good. It's going to be the measuring stick for all of thoroughbred racing this year.
I think you're right. And, you know, it's interesting, Scott. Typically, I go up the first week in August for the regular sale, the select sale. Well, first of all, that's out of my budget this year. But the New York sale and then these two events, they're going to change a lot about the calendar in Saratoga.
Well, you know that. I've noticed Todd Pletcher has a lot of New York breds went in partnership with his dad, and they broke their maidens first time out in New York. So the sales are going to really be, you know, important this year at Saratoga.
No, I think you're right, and it should be a great meet. There's some great horses. Obviously, we're probably as deep with good horses this year than many years.
Oh, you got that right. You're going to see the Preakness winner, the Derby winner, and the Belmont winner, which are all three different horses, come together possibly in the Travelers.
I agree with you. And, you know, you've got a lot of young horses coming up, and of course you've got Songbird that's probably going to be back there again, and so it's going to be an exciting August. And we're going to take a couple of minutes to catch our breath about it, and then we're going to bring in Dan Tordman, and he's going to tell us all about the stuff that America's Best Racing and Equicon have in store for us. So we'll be right back.
When you head to a horse sale, either looking to buy or sell, you really don't know what's going to happen. In the blink of an eye, horses can leave the ring undersold or overpriced. But what if there was a better way to ensure a fair market price for both the buyer and seller? Here at the stable, this fall, we're offering just that. We offer the ability to see your yearlings hard at work while giving you a better chance to make informed decisions that are calculated, not spur of the moment. We'll also provide in-depth commentary from our trainers, blacksmiths, and veterinarians on how each horse is progressing.
Be part of horse racing history this summer right here in downtown Saratoga. EquestriCon 2017 is coming August 14th and 15th at the Saratoga Springs City Center. EquestriCon is the first ever international horse racing convention, fan festival, and trade show. There'll be something for every racing fan. Entertainment, education, autograph sessions with racing legends, and a chance to engage with the sport like never before. Get in on exclusive passes, tours, and events while tickets last at EquestriCon.com. Come celebrate racing at EquestriCon this August in Saratoga.
And we're back. And with us is one of the founders of EquestriCon, Dan Tordman. Dan, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Great, great. I guess you're getting pretty excited about what's coming up for you guys.
Yeah, we are counting down the days. We are just under 60 days now, so we're obviously extremely pumped. We made a huge announcement this week that our aftercare keynote for EquestriCon will be none other than media icon and off-the-track thoroughbred owner Soledad O'Brien. So we're, you know, literally every single day we're continuing to make some pretty big announcements, and we've got a few more tricks up our sleeves, but as we stand here, we've got over 80 events planned over the course of the convention, over, you know, 2.5-3 days. It should be a pretty epic event, and it's been a massive undertaking, but it's been a lot of fun just organizing it.
Now, I looked at the calendar, and you've got a little bit for everybody.
Yeah, that's,
I mean,
that's our goal.
There's such a wide assortment.
Yeah, that's our goal with it. Look, it's no mystery that as an industry, we could stand to grow our fan base and to strengthen our existing base, and to let them know, let people know, whether you're a horse player or whether you're somebody who just loves the horses themselves and you're not a gambler, or whether you're into horse racing for, you know, the fun that you could have, you know, going out and taking photos of horses, or, you know, going to the back stretch and, you know, maybe you're interested in becoming an owner one day. Maybe you're interested in the breeding side and you have your favorite horses and your favorite fawns that you follow. Wherever you are on that spectrum of racing fan, we want to provide something that will be of interest to you at the convention. So there's a trade show component on Monday and Tuesday at the Saratoga Springs City Center, Monday and Tuesday, August 14th and 15th, in which people will come in. There'll be a space filled with, you know, entertainment, live music, legends signing autographs, Triple Crown jockeys, Team Secretariat, Pate, Ramon Dominguez, so on. We'll have various stations set up with interactive games and other things that people can sort of dive into. Opportunities to win trips to Hong Kong, for example, to see their international races. And then you'll have rows of booths with vendors from all over the country, from racetracks all over the country, the Breeders' Cup, NCRA, farms, you know, from Kentucky, Claiborne's, Denali, TaylorMade, Windstar, and the list goes on and on. And that's just what you get. That's what you get to experience for a $25 ticket when you walk through the door. You have other tickets that'll give you a more immersive experience in which you can participate on a number of panels, workshops, seminars, where you can really dig deep and learn more about ownership or breeding, or you can just kind of hear from legends like Tom Durkin talking about their favorite race calls. So that's, you know, we built in a lot of entertainment and a lot of education, and the whole goal of it is our third E, which is engagement. We want to engage with people. We want them to come out and just have a great time.
Now, this is something that came about by you sitting around a coffee shop on a Thursday afternoon saying, hey, let's do something different. Tell me a little bit about the genesis of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, I mean, that's essentially it. I was actually at a coffee shop, a coffee shop / juice bar, because I was in Brooklyn, so of course it had to be a juice bar as well.
Exactly.
And, you know, a friend of mine who, he's actually an e-commerce guy. He sells, you know, sort of cell phone gadgets online, but he's a super creative guy. Prior to launching his pretty successful e-commerce business, he was he was a graphic designer, and he's always thinking creatively, and we were just kicking some thoughts around. And so that was the first time the word convention actually came up, and then I said, let me take this concept and see if I can push it forward. And the two people that I knew at the time and that I know now are two of the most committed people when it comes to fan engagement and developing new fans for the sport of racing are my two partners, Justin Nicholson and Catherine Sharp. They're young breeders and owners who live in Pennsylvania part-time and New York part-time. They immediately ran with it. As soon as I mentioned it, they started firing back ideas. This is how we could do this. This is how we could get people excited. This is our chance to really bring the industry together in a fun and festive way and highlight the best of horse racing. And it's a win-win for everyone. It just makes sense for everyone to participate, from the racetracks to the ADWs, the product service providers, because here's your chance. Never before as an industry have we had an opportunity to kind of reach our end user, our end customer, our fans, and our consumer quite like this. And so, you know, you've got to be there. You've got to set up a booth. I mean, if you're anyone who feels like, you know, you're a serious participant in the sport and that you're interested in cultivating that next generation of a fan, a better, of owner, this is the place you need to be. So it's just snowballed, and we've been absolutely blown away by the amount of support we've got. We've got over 100 industry partners. We've also got about 135 scheduled speakers. I mentioned Soledad O'Brien. We're going to be making another announcement shortly about our racing keynote. So that'll be another announcement. But beyond that, we've got, like I said, 130 speakers covering everything from aftercare to betting the races to getting more involved with racing, the ownership and breeding side. And then we also have a lot in the ways of networking and opportunities for younger people to learn more about starting a career in racing as well.
See, that's so great. Scott had a question for you.
Hey, Dan, Scott Miller here. I got a question for you. Do you think that you'll ever see this go to, like, Del Mar or out on the West Coast?
Well, yeah. We have, from day one, we branded this event the first ever international horse racing convention. And we threw an international, not by accident, but because we do see this as a global effort, not only a national effort. We see this as an international effort as well. And so not only have we had discussions about, letting this thing sort of develop organically to the point where it's, in year one, we want to obviously prove the concept, and we think Saratoga Springs gives us the best opportunity to do that. In year two, I can tell you based on the support we've gotten from Saratoga, from everyone in the city, and the excitement and the enthusiasm about this event, it's going to be pretty hard to convince us that we should be doing this convention anywhere else in year two than Saratoga. But beyond that, we have started having some discussions internally about, where can this go? And if this grows the way we think it's going to continue to grow, certainly those possibilities and those options are on the table in terms of not only taking it to the West Coast, but also taking it, outside of the country if the right opportunity presents itself. So, we're young. We're not beholden to anyone. We're three independent, creative, people who were to just come together with a fun idea. And so, and since we're not tied to anyone in particular or any individual organization in racing, we have some freedom in terms of where we could potentially move this thing down the road.
Well, I'm excited about it, Dan. I tell you what, anything we can do to help you, just let us know, because this is what horse racing needs.
Thank you. Really do appreciate that. Really appreciate
that. Having the young blood. And maybe tell us a little bit about how you got involved in ABR, and because this is kind of where the future is. If you remember the movie Seabiscuit, you know how Mr. Howard always used to say it's the future? Well, you guys are the future. So tell us a little bit about what got you started.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, and you mentioned ABR, America's Best Racing, which for listeners who aren't familiar with America's Best Racing, you can check it out at americasbestracing.net. It's just really this incredible, it's really turned into this multimedia powerhouse in racing in terms of being able to engage with younger people, specifically provide educational content. And so that was kind of my break in racing, was being able to be a part of America's Best Racing. And I still am, I'm very much, my full-time job is as an America's Best Racing correspondent and somebody who writes a lot of educational blogs on handicapping and on capturing a lot of the lifestyle and fun activities that go on around the track, and just really trying to show people, and specifically younger people, that horse racing is a cool sport. It is an awesome sport. I love it, and anyone who I've ever brought to the track, like I'm sure you have, has loved it as well. I've never brought someone to the track and said, I don't really like this. That's never the case, my start with it, I was a fan. I was a fan, and I grew up a fan with my dad in Brooklyn, who would take me to the OTBs in Brooklyn, and would take me occasionally to Aqueduct or Belmont. And I got into it from the gambling side. I think if you were to put a label on me, first and foremost, I'm always going to be a handicapper. But at the end of the day, I mean, when you get up close with these animals and you get to see them, you get to spend time with them, you get to spend time with the people who care for them and who train them up to their races and who own them and who, make sure that they have good lives once their careers on the track are over,
when you start engaging with all these people and directly connecting with, feeling these horses, touching them, being a part of it, you can't help but have a greater appreciation for everything that racing has to offer. So I think a lot of this, that, you know, where I am now in my career and in my life, it's about trying to spread that message as much as possible.
Well, I think you're doing a great job, and you know, your enthusiasm is obvious. You know, when you hear your voice, you know, you're into it, dude.
Maybe a little too into it, right? I mean, that's
You know what? That's one of the great things about the horse business, is you can never be too into it because it becomes part of your life. It becomes who you are.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So how do your friends in Brooklyn handle that, though?
So it's funny when people ask me, you know, what do you do on your free time? And when you're working full-time in fan development, you know, with American Best Racing, and when you're launching a business on the side, and then you're also doing freelance work on the side, there is no free time. And so, like, I can say that, I mean, my only friend that I spend any time with at all is my wife. And even she, you know, we don't really necessarily get to spend the amount of time with each other that we'd like to spend. But she knows that I'm in this, and she's been, you know, from day one, I mean, she's always been, you know, right there by my side. And so she thinks I'm a little crazy, possibly, but she accepts it. She's, like I said, always supportive. And my friends, you know, look, my friends, you know, going back to before all this started, who I, you know, obviously, I you know, just joking, I have, we do have friends outside of racing as well. And they, you know, they think it's neat. You know, they, like you said, I think they pretty much detect my passion for it, and they're extremely supportive of it. And you know, I've been fortunate enough to be in situations where I've been able to bring people out to the races when they've gotten a behind the scenes look. They got to come in the paddock. They got the opportunity to go to the backside in the morning and get up close to horses and feed them peppermints and all that stuff. So all those experiences. I mean, when you can share those experiences, especially when you can share them with people you care about, you know, makes it all the more special.
Now, you didn't grow up in a traditional horse environment. Am I correct?
No, not at all. Not at all. And, you know, and that's part of, you know, the message that I try to bring to people, is that a lot of people, you know, have this perception of racing, that you've got to be born into it. You've got to have, you know, a relative who owns horses or who owns a farm or something along those lines, and it's just some elitist sport. I can tell you, I mean, I'm the son of an immigrant. I was a first-generation American. My parents were born in Morocco. And I, you know, like when they came here, you know, they didn't really know anyone. And you know, horse racing was something my dad brought with him from Morocco and France when he was growing up as a child. So, you know, horse racing was sort of a fun thing that we watched, but it was something we watched. It was a sport that we watched, just like we watched baseball. It wasn't like we had any direct connection to the sport. And so that's what I try to tell people, you know, in this day and age with social media and everyone's ability to really have a voice, you know, through Twitter or through Facebook or through Instagram, you know, start building up your own personal brand. You know, if you love racing, just put it out there. Put it out there that you love racing. Start a blog. Tell people that, you know, you've handicapped a race card, and here are your picks for a race. And you know, if you're good at it, you know, people will respond to it. If you're not good at it, people will tell you that you're not good at it. But you'll start a conversation with people. As long as you put yourself out there, you know, go to the track and just try to network, try to engage, speak to people. And these are all the things I did. And, you know, fortunately, they put me in a position where, you know, I'm very much a part of the industry now. But, no, I certainly had no connection to it when I first started.
Now, did you have training in the media or in social media or networking? Or is this something that came to you kind of naturally?
Yeah, I mean, look, my background is in media. I graduated Syracuse University. You know, they've got a decent broadcast journalism school from what they told us. As an SU guy, I was trained, you know, I was trained in broadcast. And so I actually did spend close to, 8 or 9 years on TV as a local news reporter. I mean, certainly, not a high profile news reporter. I basically cover crime and politics. So, you know, whatever the
those two things go together.
fans these days, don't they?
What's that?
I said those two things go together these days, don't they? Crime and politics.
You're not gonna get me to go down that road.
Okay. Because the next question was, I was gonna see if you were gonna leak who your keynote speaker is for the racing side, but we won't go there. I'm not gonna put that pressure on you, Dan.
Oh, like, I'll just laugh it off. I'll laugh it off. But no, it is. I think the safe way to respond to it is that we are living in interesting times, and so with that being the case, you know, I think. Things are changing rapidly around us, and the same thing goes for horse racing. I think the landscape is changing, and it's very much, you know, if it was 25, 30 years ago, I don't know that I would be, you know, here talking to you about, you know, how I built my, you know, my foothold, or how I got my foothold in the industry through social media or through any media, or through, you know, my ability to just walk up to somebody at a racetrack and start a conversation. I think there are a lot of tools out there that can empower people to have a voice and to really, you know, start making a mark and to really to do stuff that's positive. And if you love racing, that there are a lot of different ways in which you can channel that energy.
No, and it's great to get young people like yourself involved, because you're going to be around, good Lord willing, for, you know, a lot of years, and you're going to help shape things. And as an older guy, both Scott and I, I'm sure, you know, we really appreciate the energy that you're bringing to it. Now, can you tell us?
I appreciate that.
Well, can you tell us a little bit about the website, both the ABR website and the Equestricon website, so people can go get information and get up there to Saratoga? I know, as I mentioned earlier in the intro, I've changed my schedule so I can make it to the event. But tell the fans how they can do it.
Yeah, well, I appreciate hearing that from you. And I really do think this is an event that you can't really afford to miss. And I'm not saying that because, you know, I'm one of the guys organizing it. I'm saying that because, you know, if you're a racing fan or if you want to have an opportunity to participate in the discussion directly, and to have a lot of fun with everything racing, this is your opportunity. So yeah, it's equestricon.com. That's EQUESTRICON.com. Equestricon.com. You go there, it'll give you a full schedule of events throughout the convention. Like I said, Monday, Tuesday, August 14th and 15th are the main convention days. Sunday is a kickoff day. So with certain passes, you'll be able to add on experiences. And so you'll be able to do stuff around Saratoga on Sunday if you buy certain experiences. But the baseline ticket for Monday, Tuesday is $25. That gets you in both days. Can't get much these days for $12.50. So $12.50 a day is what you're paying to get inside the building. And then if you want to get involved in those panels that I mentioned, that's an added, you know, charge. It's $125. Still well below the market value for a major industry convention that have all access to this many panels. And then we have a VIP package as well on the site that you can look through. But all that's on there, equestricon.com. I'll also say for our social media savvy listeners, you can find us on Twitter at EQ Convention. And we're also on Facebook and Instagram as Equestricon. American Best Racing, you'll find it at americanbestracing.net. American Best Racing has got everything from, you know, written race previews this weekend. You know, we've got big races coming up really every weekend. Now we're in racing second season, you know, headed toward the Breeders' Cup. The Breeders' Cup Challenge Series is actually, on TV. It's presented by, on NBC, it's presented by, in part, America's Best Racing. And so we're big supporters of everything Breeders' Cup. And, you know, we encourage people to go on the website there, look at our race previews, look at our race recaps, and look at all the other fun stuff in and around the races. We've also just launched a new app, which is called Stay Lucky. It's a contest app in which you can win prizes and ultimately have a shot at winning $1 million. So a lot of fun stuff happening on the America's Best Racing side for sure.
Well, keep up the great work. Keep in touch with us, and we'll hope to see you in Saratoga. You know, I was just thinking as you were talking, I went to the movies the other night with my wife, also a Syracuse University graduate. And we went and paid actually $13 per person to see a not very good movie. Okay. So for $12.50, you're quite a bargain. And we appreciate it. And we'll see you up there. Dan, thanks for being on the show. We're going to break for a commercial spot, and we'll be right back with Mark Anna, who is with Thorofen, and they are going to have their awards banquet just the day before the Equicon convention.
When you head to a horse sale, either looking to buy or sell, you really don't know what's going to happen. In the blink of an eye, horses can leave the ring undersold or overpriced. But what if there was a better way to ensure a fair market price for both the buyer and seller? Here at The Stable, this fall, we're offering just that. We offer the ability to see your yearlings hard at work while giving you a better chance to make informed decisions that are calculated, not spur of the moment. We'll also provide in-depth commentary from our trainers, blacksmiths, and veterinarians on how each horse is progressing.
Be part of horse racing history this summer right here in downtown Saratoga. EquestriCon 2017 is coming August 14th and 15th at the Saratoga Springs City Center. EquestriCon is the first ever international horse racing convention, fan festival, and trade show. There'll be something for every racing fan. Entertainment, education, autograph sessions with racing legends, and a chance to engage with the sport like never before. Get in on exclusive passes, tours, and events while tickets last at EquestriCon.com. Come celebrate racing at EquestriCon this August in Saratoga.
And we're back with Mike Ammo of Thorofen. Mike, how are you?
I'm wonderful. Thanks for having me on.
Great. Got your press release the other day and immediately wanted to get you on board because, you know, the work that Thorofen and has been doing over the years, you know, has been phenomenal. And this is kind of our pre-Saratoga show, so we wanted to pop you in here. Tell us a little bit about that awards banquet, because that sounds pretty great.
Yeah, it is. We're pretty excited about it. It's our fifth annual Thorofen Awards brunch. And the goal really is to create a fan-specific award event. It really is the only one that's offered in the country. And we started it 5 years ago in partnership with the NTRA, and we did it on Eclipse Week at Gulfstream the first 4 years. And it went fine. We were doing well. We gave the award to Patrice Wolfson from Who Owned the Firms, and then we gave it to, the next year, gave it to Cott Campbell from Dogwood Stables, and then Michael Blowen from Old Friends. And last year we gave it to Tom Durkin, the announcer at Saratoga Breeders' Cup, that took the crown. He's retired. But all of a sudden we thought, well, maybe we could really expand the base, especially with the EquestriCon coming into Saratoga. We could expand our base by taking our brunch to Saratoga and give it a try to see if we could not do better in terms of attendance. We did great. We always had over 100 people. But we think Saratoga might do better than that. So we're excited about it. So we brought it to the Embassy Suites in Saratoga, and we're going to be on August the 12th in the morning from 9, and we're going to open the doors at 9, registration at 9:30, program begins. So there'll be a full brunch, and we have keynote speaker Donna Barton Brothers, who we all know as a racing analyst and commentator for NBC, and chief operating officer of Starlight Racing, but we're also, she was a jockey back in the late 80s and 90s and accumulated almost over 1,100 wins and purse money over $18 million. And she's just a wonderful person to talk about the sport and tell her stories about women in racing. So we're excited about that. And those of us that have been around Saratoga, we've seen the Thorofen Guide to Saratoga Racecourse Trainers, which we put together 8 years ago to help people who watch the workouts be able to identify horses and trainers by their saddle tone, and we give it out free to everybody who wants it in Saratoga. And the guy who developed it and actually created it and produced it for 8 years, Bob Giordano, is going to be an awardee this year because we think that he really brought a lot of people to understand the morning workouts an awful lot more than they ever did as a fan as a result of this experience.
No, you know, that's been such an influential piece in the Saratoga handicapping scene for the last, as you said, 8 or 9 years, and it has really made an impact. It's opened a lot of people's eyes, and he does a great job. And then you have another major award as well.
Yep, we do.
Am I correct?
We've been partnering since the very beginning with Horse Racing Nation, and their award as Fan of the Year is going to go to Don Mellon, who is the founder and president of the aftercare organization After the Finish Line. A super person. So we're excited about that.
No, Don does a wonderful job. Scott and I are both involved with the Florida Thoroughbred Horse Show Association, which is a circuit that we have down here in Florida for thoroughbreds, particularly a lot of aftercare type of horses. And we're well aware of Dawn's work, and she's spectacular.
You know, one of the things you sidebar to that, one of the things that Thorofan did is when the NTRA began to, I guess, wanted to get going, and probably Jack Wolf was the predominant guy, to create the Aftercare Alliance, where they were crediting and they were being accredited aftercare operations across the country. Jack Wolf asked Thorofan to have a seat on the table to begin to talk about what fans thought was important in terms of dealing with aftercare. And I've been sitting as an advisor to that group for since its inception. It's wonderful the kind of things we've been able to do to raise money and support people who are doing the kind of work that Dawn's doing. And she's such a great fan, so you know, we're really excited about that. And of course, go ahead. No, I said the other person, which we're kind of excited about, is Acacia Courtney is going to be on it. And the Florida people know her, but she's the sort of the on-air analyst and personality at Gulfstream Park. But this is the second year she's been our MC. She was down at Gulfstream last year, and now she's going to do it here for us. And she is just a real consummate professional when it comes to media and dealing with racing.
No, she does a great job with my old hockey buddy, Ron Nicoletti, and had the opportunity to meet Acacia, and she's, as you said, consummate professional and also very positive for the sport.
Very positive.
So you've got an all-star cast. Scott had a question for you.
Hey, I noticed your website, the Thoroughfan, and one of the things I look for in the horse industry is what attracts a non-horse person to the industry. And I like that section on your website, Name Behind the Race, Woody Stevens. It's so doggone interesting, you know, that you don't have to be a horse person to see it, and you guys do a great job on letting people know what a race is all about.
That you know, this is a Thoroughfan is a total volunteer group effort, and people sort of come to it because they have a passion. And in this case, Brian Langlois, who's a veterinarian in Pennsylvania and just an avid racing fan, has been working with us and giving us ideas and talking to us, and it's great to have that kind of medical background involved with this thing. But he came up with this idea. He said, you know, I talked to my friends and they don't know, well, why do they call a race by that name? You know, why do they call it the Wood Memorial? Who's Wood? What was Wood? And that's what got him started. And I think he's done a half a dozen of these so far for us. And yeah, you've got Woody Stevens now, and we're going to be doing these about every week. He does a great job. He does it on, you know, the video, and it's really good to see.
Yeah, it's great, especially as these guys get a little further down in history, like Woody and some of the famous horses that stakes are named after. You know, it's really kind of cool for people to get a feel for it. Now, how did you get involved?
Well, I've been a racing fan for way too many years, but I just love the sport. And
Scott, I think he was about to say he was a racing degenerate.
Yeah, that's what I get.
I don't think so.
Yeah, that's it. But I guess how I started was really interesting. I date myself a little bit, but I got out of graduate school. I went to Stony Brook on Long Island back in the late 70s. I was in the 70s. And friend of mine said, hey, there's this race at Belmont. You got to go see it. You know, let's just go over and watch it. I don't know much about racing. Neither do I. I said, so we kind of, our wives get together, we four of us go over, we crowd in. It happened to be Belmont Stakes 1978. And we sat there watching the affirmed Aladar race. We said, this is unbelievable, this experience. And I was really new to the sport. I said, this is something I've never really experienced. This is really exciting. And I think from that moment on, I've been trying to learn more about it and to the point where I got so involved that I was going to Saratoga as many times as I could get off from work to get up to Saratoga to go to the races. And in 2000, I finally bought a house 5 blocks from the track. So now it's my summer home. I move up there in the summer so I can get to the races every day.
I was right. He is a racing degenerate.
That is, right? That's the definition. That's great. I guess, I love the sport. I miss very few of them. It's a great sport. And our board is made up of...
We had Dan Tordman on.
What's that?
No, we had Dan Tordman on just before you ABR, from America's Best Racing.
Sure.
And the weird thing, or the funny thing is, the excitement in your voice and the excitement in Dan's voice is such tremendous energy.
Yeah.
You guys really, really... seem like you're wrapped up into it. It's great to see, as a horseman, people that are not in the barn every day to have that kind of energy and excitement about it. We commend you for it.
It's a great sport. People that's one of the things that we try to do a lot of with education. You mentioned the whole name behind the race. We try to, when you really learn about this sport, it is such a great sport. How going to say probably something that could be considered sort of a heresy in our business, but sometimes we put too much emphasis on the gambling before we talk about the sport. They have to go together hand in hand. The sport is wonderful, and you got to enjoy it and watch it. And, I've grown from being a degenerate fan going to the track and betting and buying a house in Saratoga, going all the time. I think 4 years ago, we bought into a local New York partnership, and we have 3 horses now. Now I'm sort of an owner. I'm a partner with a group of people. Our horse is running Saturday at Belmont. Good can that? How much better can that be? We're going to be at Belmont tomorrow watching our horse run in the 5th race.
Well, that's exactly how the model is supposed to work, right?
That's exactly.
Get them involved. Get them to participate.
That's right. That's right. And everybody starts. You start as $2, and you work your way up. And some go the path of being serious bettors and maybe making a living at it. Some people stay fans all their life. Some people get involved in the ownership end of it. And we've got to grow that. I'm reminded. I went to a casino in Syracuse, New York, a number of years ago, and I have a small RV. And I was at the RV park, and I was going to dinner with my wife at the casino. So we took the truck over, and we were walking into the restaurant. We found that the marketing manager who showed us the directions to the restaurant. And we said, how come you've got this wonderful RV park, and it's packed, but people come to the casino, there's so few people coming. The van's always empty. How can you possibly sustain that? And he looked at us with this is casino model. He said, we're marketing to the next generation. Said, you're marketing to the next generation. He said, we want people to come and have their kids have fun here and swim and enjoy things. And when they turn 21, they're going to think about coming back to turning stuff. And I said, oh my gosh, that is so interesting, because racing doesn't have the luxury of thinking to the next generation. We're just so concerned about trying to meet the bottom line every year that maybe every quarter, that we really have a hard time going out to the next generation. But that's what you really have to do if you want to build this sport.
Yeah, but you see, your organization and, organizations like ABR, you are actually reaching to the next generation.
Absolutely.
If I look at the photos on your website, mm-hmm. and the articles, they're geared at people 25, 30, 35 years old. Well, that's the next generation of owners.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's really great. I mean, you guys have identified that
that sweet spot that we need to have. Yeah.
And I think, I think it's true. I'm thinking of something now that we're going to kind of think about how we can do more of it if we can only get ourselves spread out more than we are financially. But, I had this thought one time about the Cyndi Lauper song, Girls Just Want to Have Fun. And, I thought about that for a minute. I think maybe what we're missing here is fans just want to have fun. And we got to think
well,
about
that.
They just want to have fun.
That's so true. We had about 50 people over to the house for the Kentucky Derby, none of which were horse people. We specifically said we're not inviting any of our horse friends. We're going to just invite regular people.
Great.
I got to tell you, they had a ball. They didn't know how to read past performances or anything, but we just kind of had a good time. One of my neighbors is an accountant. She started taking bets. She'll probably get arrested after this broadcast. But she started taking bets. Everybody had a blast. And so you're 100% right. They just want to have fun. Let's not make it more complicated than that.
That's right. That's right. That's not making it more complicated. So many of those people probably couldn't tell you what an ROI is. But they don't need to know that. They want to have fun.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's the base of our sport. And we have to focus on that base.
Well, I'm glad you are, Michael, and we appreciate what you're doing. Let the people know how they can get to the website, how they can get to the Saratoga Luncheon.
Great. Sure, I will. Our Thorofan website is thorofan.com. I'll spell it. It's thorofan.com. And when you get on the website, there's two places I want you to look. You can look the whole thing over, but focus. There's a little link in there that said get a trial newsletter free. We publish a newsletter every Friday afternoon that goes out to our members and anybody that's linked into the thing that talks about a whole range of racing issues from handicapping to human interest stuff. And we have a quiz and, that kind of trivia questions and photos and stuff for our newsletter for our members. And the other button you'll see is to purchase a ticket for the brunch. And so you can go on through PayPal and buy your ticket and go to the brunch. And so that's how you get it. You can mail it in through we're in Saratoga, but you'll find the address on the website. But the brunch is we're selling the brunch. It's $50 a ticket. If you're a member of Thorofan, which costs you $25 to join, we're going to give you a bonus, and you can get two tickets for $20 each. So you can get two tickets for $40 if you're a member. So if you're not a member, it's going to cost you $50 for a ticket or $100 for two. If you're a member, it's going to cost you $40 for two. So we're trying to encourage fans to participate and join us. But the brunch is at the Embassy Suite is going to be it's going to be unbelievable. And we've looked at the menu. It's their top brunch at that hotel and restaurant. And it is really a wonderful brunch. It's well worth a $40 brunch, period, in Saratoga, easily. And so you're going to get the opportunity to meet now the brothers and Keisha and Bobby Giordano and Don Mellon, we hope. And we're going to try to have autographs and photograph sessions so people can have pictures taken with these people and get them signed. We're going to try to get various other things to make it easy, make it interesting for fans to participate and enjoy themselves. And we promise we'll have you out by noon so you can make it to the racetrack.
Well, there you go. That is so Saratoga, right?
That's right. You got to get there.
Yep.
We're only 10 minutes from the Embassy Suite downtown, even a walking distance. Probably a cab ride is, the same to get to the track from the Embassy Suites. It's right down the street, less than a half a mile from Barbie. Maybe, let's say, 3/4 mile to the track. And so we finish up at noon. You got plenty of time to get there for the first race. Enjoy yourself.
Well, we're planning to get up there. And we're looking forward to it. Appreciate the great job that you guys are doing. And, we'll see you up in Saratoga.
Terrific. Look forward to it. Please say hi. We'll be around and look us up. We try to do meetups at the Embassy Suites every Monday night during the meet. So that's sort of a common thing we did last year. I think we'll do it this year, but we'll have it on the website. So just people kind of come in and talk about what a great time they had on the weekend and why they didn't mind losing money.
Okay. Well, keep us posted as well. We look forward to seeing you. Thanks again, Mike.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Take care. And now we're just going to pop out for a couple of minutes with commercials, and then we're going to be back talking about some aftercare stuff. Thanks a lot for listening to the Equisport News.
When you head to a horse sale, either looking to buy or sell, you really don't know what's going to happen. In the blink of an eye, horses can leave the ring undersold or overpriced. But what if there was a better way to ensure a fair market price for both the buyer and seller? Here at The Stable, this fall, we're offering just that. We offer the ability to see your yearlings hard at work while giving you a better chance to make informed decisions that are calculated, not spur of the moment. We'll also provide in-depth commentary from our trainers, blacksmiths, and veterinarians on how each horse is progressing.
Be part of horse racing history this summer right here in downtown Saratoga. EquestriCon 2017 is coming August 14th and 15th at the Saratoga Springs City Center. EquestriCon is the first ever international horse racing convention, fan festival, and trade show. There'll be something for every racing fan. Entertainment, education, autograph sessions with racing legends, and a chance to engage with the sport like never before. Get in on exclusive passes, tours, and events while tickets last at EquestriCon.com. Come celebrate racing at EquestriCon this August in Saratoga.
And we're back with Jim and Sandy from Thoroughbred Sport Horses. Jim and Sandy, how are you this morning?
Very good, thank you.
Good morning, Les. I'm fine. Beautiful day.
Thank you for having us.
Our pleasure. Your buddy Scott Miller is with us. Scott, say hello to your friends.
Glad to talk to you guys. You got a great project going there, and we look forward to seeing you here in Florida this winter.
Looking forward
Scott,
to it.
Scott's
ourselves.
Very shy
Thank
on
you.
The radio. You know, in person, you can't get him to stop talking, but on the radio, he gets a little shy. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, Scott's not shy.
Hey, where in Kentucky are you guys located?
We're located right in the heart in Lexington, Lexington, Kentucky, Bluegrass, right between Keeneland and the Thoroughbred Training Center.
Okay, know exactly where you're at. Scott was telling me a little bit about what you all are doing. Can you tell us a little bit about the program that you have there and what you do on a daily basis?
I would love to. You know, the thoroughbred industry, you know, when these horses are finished racing, you know, they need a second career. And one of the things we try to promote and try to, you know, let the public know that these horses are lovely. They've got good minds. You know, they do sometimes need some rehab, and we do take them in. We, you know, patch them up if needed, rehab them. Horses can go into trail riding jobs. They can go into the jobs. We have horses that have been in the Grand Prix. We have horses that are eventing. We have horses that are in Montana cutting cows. So these horses are very versatile, and what we do is we bring them into our program when they are finished racing and the owners want them off the books. And we, if they need rehab, we do that, and we also evaluate them, put them in a training program, and make sure that they're placed into the appropriate homes, because all these thoroughbreds are very different. You know, some you could put a 10-year-old child on, and some are ready to go to the Rolex. So they're all different.
Well, you know, let's talk about that, because your job is kind of a tricky job. You're rehabbing them, you're retraining them, and then you're kind of interpreting what kind of rider that they can go to. How do you have a system for that, or is there?
Yeah, when we do a lot of, you know, we try to reach out to the public as much as possible through our advertising. When we have people contact us interested in rehoming one of these horses, we have them fill out a pre-purchase application. It's for two purposes. One is to make sure the horses go into a good home that we feel comfortable with. And the second reason is that we want to make sure we try to find the appropriate fit, make sure the rider and the horse are a good fit together. You know, we have questions in that application. So what level of rider are you and that sort of thing. And also, you know, whether you have your own farm or whether you're planning on boarding this horse, do you have a trainer involved and all those kind of questions.
And so on a given year, Beth, how many horses go through your barn?
Oh, it varies. We've had, I would have to say, vaguely, I'd have to say, you know, hundreds. Back in 2015, we did, I think we rehomed around 300 horses, somewhere around that.
Wow.
You know, yeah, it's a lot. We're very aggressive. You know, we care so much. You know, we don't just have them here and sitting in a field. You know, we want to find them homes because the faster we can find them homes, there's so many that need homes.
No, and that's very true. And you sometimes get into situations, you know, where horses are a rehoming situation, but they're there for 8, 10, 12 years. And that doesn't really do anybody any good.
Yeah, the other thing that we do, you know, we've tried to go a little bit and beyond. You know, we're always trying to improve our program. We microchip our horses, register them. You know, this is to try to protect them. You know, we try to go the extra mile and, you know, trying to help the horses. And we love our clients. We love our customers. You know, they can reach out. We always tell them, you know, if something goes wrong, please, we want to be the first call. I mean, we've exchanged these horses after 2 years of them being in the new owner's care.
Now you talked about 300 horses in 2015. How long have you guys been in operation?
Oh, you know, we've been doing this for a long time, about 10 years.
Okay, so you've seen a lot of faces go through the door.
We have. We've seen a lot. Our Facebook page now has 85,000 followers on there, and we're constantly
reaching
out to them.
And the name of that page is? What's the name of that page?
The Thoroughbred Sport Horses, our business Facebook page.
Okay, and do you have a website?
Yes, our website is tbshcares.com.
Where so it's tbshcare?
Cares, CARES.com. Yep, tbshcares.com. We post our horses, we post graduates, you know, testimonials of what the horses are doing. So we also do animal therapy on our horses. Jim is a equine therapist and a laser. I'd like to let him tell you a little bit about what he does, you know, with some
Absolutely.
Of the rehabbing of these horses.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, let's hear from him.
Good morning again. Yeah, this is Jim, and you know, Sandra and I. This is truly it's a mom and pop business. We both work, you know, 7 days a week at it, and we have a strong kind of a belief in this, and you know, our marketing is key to our success because we go the extra distance as far as marketing. You know, we're not a not for profit, but you know, in the end, there may or may not be a lot of profit here in what we do. But we try to be as thorough as our thoroughbreds. We have you know, a paperwork system, an evaluation system. Sandra is the key here to this because her background and expertise with horses. Mostly all of her life, she has a unique ability to, you know, when a horse enters our, what we call our program, when a horse enters our program, of course, we evaluate them, and she's key here as the primary evaluator. She can look at this horse, she can get on this horse, and very, very quickly, she determines what this horse, what each horse is best suited for. So we go through a process in our marketing where we get many calls. We get many, many hits, many calls, many leads, and we screen them. She talks to each and every person, and then she actually tries to fit the horse, because we know that if we can fit the horse with the good owner and, you know, monitor where it goes and what they're going to be doing with it, then the longevity of the horse and proper care is almost guaranteed. My end of the business, in addition to farm or stall maintenance, things like that, is to evaluate the horse for any type of muscle injuries or soreness issues. And I developed a laser therapy program, which I actually teach people here how to apply the cold laser and do manual therapy on the horses. I'm board certified by the American Medical Massage Association, and I'm also licensed here by the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission as an equine therapist. And so when a horse comes in, we look at it, we evaluate it, but what I do is I go through the different movement issues of the horse to see if there's any muscle injuries or related issues that makes the horse not want to, you know, go out and do what we needed to do as far as the different disciplines. And then I'll apply the laser. I do conduct some clinics here where I'll take my students in, and I have students that come in and we can work on these horses, and we tune them up is what we do. We get them all tuned up, and then we put them out. We see what they can do. Then we take them, we do a video production of the horse, and then we shoot this video out worldwide. We've sold horses all over the world. And so it's a process by which we go back and forth, Sandra and I go back and forth, and we try to, you know, our goal here is to impact or get the thoroughbred back into a totally different world, working world, where longevity, you know, where they're not just used on the racetrack for 2 or 3 years and then what happens to them? You know, what happens to them is unless they're rehomed, they do go into some of these warehousing and retirement places, and we just think that there's a better life for them out there if they're in the show world or in a different environment where people will care for them a little better. Longevity is what we're looking for with the resources. So it's a good,
typically,
it's a good program, and
typically, from when a horse gets onto the grounds to when you get them to the point of being able to say, okay, this one can go home with somebody, how long does that take you?
Yeah, every horse is different, you know, just like in any breed, they're all different. If they need rehabbing, certainly they're going to take a little longer. There are times when we may get one in and it's a little more difficult to train. I will say with the thoroughbreds, with our experience, I mean, I get on over 100 of these horses a year, and with my experience, the least of 100, you might get one that's really difficult, but for the most part, they're all able to be retrained and transitioned into something. Yeah, but I would say it's always different. It could be, you know, 2 weeks. It could be, you know, 3 months, depending on the horse.
Okay, and that's one of the nice things that I'm hearing from you is that your attention is paid to each individual horse. There's not a program where, you know, the horse has to fit a square peg into a square hole.
Yeah, and again, you know, they're all different. You know, there's... For some reason, there is a misconception, unfortunately, and not everybody, I don't want to say everyone, but there seems to be a misconception that, you know, all thoroughbreds are crazy or nuts because, you know, they're on the track, and that's just not true. You know, I look at those exercise riders, I used to be one, they do a fantastic job training these horses, and yes, when they come here, some of them are a little fired up, but they let down pretty quickly. They don't need 6 months to be let down. You know, you can turn them out, let them turn out and be a horse for a couple days. They're used to being in a work program. I feel they feel neglected. They're just turned out and forgotten about. They want human attention. They want to be worked with. So
they want a job.
Yeah. They want a job. They're domesticated horses. They're not wild. They're used to human attention, and they do definitely want a job. and they all have different jobs. I mean, we've had three-year-olds that have come into a program that were so docile, so quiet, and they really went out to 12-year-old children, and the parents are happy, the trainers are happy. Of course, that was after my evaluation. You know, safety comes first, absolutely.
But now, before you got into this, what were you doing?
Well, my background has always been in horses. You know, when years and years ago, when we first got married, we had, you know, we had kids, started a family, and, you know, we did do some corporate America. You know, I used to work as a computer operator, you know, running mainframes. So, I mean, we've got some corporate background, but we've always been involved in horses, and I've always had a love for horses. You know, my background is showing from 5 years old up until, you know, 18, 19, 20, somewhere around there. And so this has always been my passion, and I'm so glad that I'm able to, you know, be able to give back to these horses like, you know, we've been able to have this program do.
Well, we're fortunate that you guys are doing that. Before we go, give us the website again and the Facebook page, and we'll see if we can get some of these horses adopted for you.
Oh, that would be wonderful. I'll tell you every day, you know, pretty much we'll go out on Facebook and thank our Facebook followers, because without the public, these horses wouldn't have a chance. We can do what we can do, but unless they get rehomed, these horses don't have a chance. It's them. We're a team. We're all a team. The website is TSH, that's T as in Tom, B as in boy, S as in Sam, H as in horse, cares, cares.com. And our Facebook page is Thoroughbred Sport Horses.
Great. Well, we appreciate it. If you could do me a favor, get Scott a link to your page, and we'll put it up on our website.
We very much appreciate that, and the horses appreciate it. I certainly will.
Great. Thanks, guys, and we appreciate you being on the air with us. This is Les Salzman and
Scott Miller.
Thanking you for joining us on this episode of Equisport News.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks.